This morning, I'd like to tell you a story about a slave. Now, those of you that have been paying attention will have noticed that word come up already this morning.
Yes.
So that's amazing, isn't it? Well, it isn't amazing, really. That's the Holy Spirit. His name was Onesimus. And his story is found in one of the shortest books in the Bible, the book of Philemon. The book is a letter, or epistle, if you want the posh word, to Philemon about his slave called Onesimus. It's the only strictly private letter that's in the Bible, except that the ending indicates that this private letter is then to be published. But it wasn't written to a church, it was written to a man. Before we embark on the story, I'd just like to set the scene just a tiny bit. At the time that that was written, there were around 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. These men, women, and children were treated as commodities to be traded, bought, and sold. The typical price for a slave was about 500 denarii. To put that into context, one denarii was one day's wage for a labourer. If a slave ran away, their master would register their name and description with officials, and the slave would be placed on a wanted list. Roman law permitted a master to execute a rebellious slave. Onesimus belonged to Philemon, who was a person of note, probably a minister in the church of Colossae, which is a city in Phrygia or modern-day Turkey. He steals Philemon's goods and then runs away to Rome. That's Onesimus. Steals Philemon's goods, he robs him and runs away to Rome, where he meets, guess who, Paul. Who's a prisoner at that time in Rome and is converted. Onesimus is subsequently converted by Paul. And he ministers to Paul while Paul is prisoner. Knowing him to be another man's slave, Paul didn't detain Onesimus but arranges for his return to his master Philemon. And so Onesimus leaves Paul as a slave and a criminal. Paul intercedes for him in this letter to Philemon, the book that we have to read, requesting that Philemon receives Onesimus back as a beloved brother. Paul entrusted Tychicus to protect Onesimus from arrest by slave traders on his return journey, and also to deliver some additional letters, including one to the church in Colossae, as well as this letter addressed to Philemon. And we infer that Philemon did what Paul asked for in the letter, and we're going to go through that now, because the letter was published. He's not likely to publish the letter if he didn't do what Paul asked him. So I just want to look a little bit now about that letter and what we can learn from it. So the first three verses, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow labourer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. So that's the first three verses. So here Paul is enlisting Philemon's sympathy by referring to himself, Paul, as a prisoner in chains. The greeting Paul sends from Timothy reminds Philemon of the brotherhood of Christians. This same love is to be extended to Onesimus, whom Paul calls a brother beloved. That comes later on in the letter. In his greeting, Paul mentions house churches. He refers to Apphia, probably the wife of Philemon, and Archippus, a fellow brother in the church. The purpose of this is that the home church would also need to recognise Onesimus as a Christian brother, not just the duty of Philemon. Paul sends grace, a manifest favour of God, and peace, the state of spiritual well-being flowing from the receipt of grace. The next few verses, I thank my God, making mention of you always, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Wow, what a commendation. Paul probably heard about Philemon's love from Epaphras and is working up to ask for another demonstration of it. This is a glowing commendation from Paul, who recognises Philemon's love and faith in Christ, that he shares this faith, that there is much good in Philemon in Jesus. Paul states that this is a great consolation to him personally, which means a lot given his current circumstances. We now begin to move to the nub of the issue. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I'd rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul has been given impressive proof of Philemon's love, and because of this, he declines to use his authority as an apostle to command what ought to be done, but instead appeals to Philemon's disposition to do good, based on past instances and expressions of his love for others. So Paul makes a request, an appeal, rather than a command. He chooses to refer to himself as the aged. Comes to us all, unfortunately. He says this as the request of an aged apostle, now suffering for Christ and his gospel, and asks that this should be tenderly considered. He is now referring to Onesimus as my son, whom I have begotten. Begotten means of the same kind. In this case, Onesimus is a Christian brother also in bonds at the moment. Paul hopes that someone described as his son and dear to him will also be dear to Philemon. Who once was unprofitable. That phrase is a play on words, as the name Onesimus means profitable. Onesimus is now profitable to Paul. He's helping him. He's ministering to him in prison. He will be profitable to Philemon on his return as a brother in Christ. Philemon, incidentally, means affectionate or kind. Philemon is asked to receive him as he would Paul in the phrase, my own heart. Even good men and women sometimes need great sincerity and encouragement to forgive those who have injured and offended them. Paul would have liked to retain Onesimus. He needed a friend or companion to help him, but he wouldn't do that, and instead returns him. Philemon has lost Onesimus for a few months, but can now have him as a brother in Christ forever. God has overruled evil with good. Philemon need not fear that Onesimus will injure him anymore. The brief parting resulting from Onesimus running away has resulted in a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. That's quoting from verse 16. a relationship that even death will not dissolve. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even yourself besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. That's verses 17 to 21. Paul now encourages Philemon even more to receive Onesimus as he would Paul. To deny this would deny the brotherhood of the body of Christ. Onesimus may have robbed Philemon of a substantial sum, possibly enough money to get him to Rome. It's quite a long journey. But Paul offers to pay this price. It takes more than love to solve this problem. Love must pay a price. The debt owing must be paid. Paul writes, I will repay, as he takes the pen from the scribe, who has penned the rest of the letter and signs off the IOU. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. He reminds Philemon that he owes Paul his life. Paul probably was involved in his conversion. We read a final personal plea. Since Philemon has refreshed the brothers with love, he should not miss the opportunity to refresh Paul's heart. Let me have joy from you. We should do things that bring joy to the hearts of one another. Paul's expectation is that he will do more than he is asked to do. Good thoughts and expectations of us encourage us to do even more than we're asked. And in this case, I think it's probably to give Onesimus his freedom. He's not actually been asked to free Onesimus, you notice. But I think that's Paul's expectation. The farewell, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through my prayers I will be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow labourers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So Paul is planning to come to visit and believes in the power of prayers offered for his freedom. He anticipates an early release. And he closes in the usual way with the grace, the your is plural, a blessing on the whole church. I find this a heartwarming and inspirational example from Paul of how one Christian can intercede and act as an advocate on behalf of another. He does this not just by putting Onesimus' case to Philemon, but offers to pay his debt. What struck me most when reading this was the striking similarity between Paul's actions on behalf of Philemon and Christ's actions on our behalf. First, as Paul is interceding for Onesimus, Christ is interceding for us. He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Secondly, Paul asks Philemon to put Onesimus' debts on his account. I will repay, verse 19. This is exactly what Christ has done for us by his sacrifice on the cross. Our sins were put on his account. He was treated the way I should have been treated, and you should have been treated. He paid the price, the debt I owed, because of my sin. Love was not enough. The debt had to be paid. Paul then requests Philemon to receive Onesimus as he would Paul. I think God's people are so identified with Christ that God receives us as he receives his son, Jesus. Philemon's love, kindness and faithfulness also point to some of the attributes of God the Father. Through Paul's intervention, a slave called Onesimus is presented to Philemon in a way which he can be accepted into a new relationship. In the same way, through Christ's intervention for the world as a whole, and each of us as individuals, if we accept Christ, we can be freed from the slavery of sin. Freed from being slaves to fear. Free from the yoke of slavery. We sang about that this morning.
Yes.
We heard about being freed this morning from all sorts of things that can enslave us. Do we just sing about it? Or do we believe it? And do we act on it? If we accept Christ, we can be freed from the slavery of sin, Romans 6:20, and presented to God the Father in such a way that he can accept us and we can enter into a new relationship with him. We are accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6, clothed in his righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21, neither slave nor free, Galatians 3:28. So to close, there is a lot in this very short letter. There's an awful lot that we can take away from it. Some of the values that we see in this letter apply to us as Christian brothers and sisters. Personal values shed light on the character of Paul. Ethical values, the focus is on what is right. Providential values. God's hand is behind and above all events. God brings good out of evil. Evangelistic values encourage us to seek and save the lowest in society, the least. Social values present the reality of Christianity to slavery and other unchristian institutions. Perhaps most importantly, and a message to take away if you don't yet know Christ, the spiritual values, the strong analogy between this story and the gospel. Martin Luther said, "We are all Onesimuses. A slave to sin, we can't run away, but we're saved by Christ who paid the price for our sin." Jesus' final words on the cross, "It is finished." Tetelestai, the Greek word that was written at the end of a debt and means paid in full.